At the end of each chapter in the Believe series, Randy Frazee included a section called What We Believe. I want to read a part of that section for the gentleness chapter. Gentleness is rooted in our belief in humanity. When we see people the way God sees them, we are compelled to treat them well. A gentle person, according to God's vision, is thoughtful. They think before they talk or act. A gentle person is considerate. They consistently put themselves in other people's shoes and act accordingly. A gentle person is calm. They are known for their even temper and positive energy. Jesus modeled this for us in so many of his relationships. Our gospel lesson from John is just one example of this. The Pharisees bring a woman who had committed adultery before Jesus. Now I think all of us here know that adultery is not committed by just one party. So why was the man not brought before Jesus? They also wanted to publicly humiliate the woman, as they could have spoken privately to Jesus about the matter while keeping her in private custody. Then the question they posed, which Jesus initially appears to ignore, they are trying to trap Jesus into saying something that they can use against him. They know that the Romans do not allow Jews to carry out death sentences, so if Jesus had said to stone her, he would have been going against the Romans. If he says not to stone her, he would have been unsupportive of Moses' law. Although they were kind of playing fast and loose with the law did not specify the matter of, or the manner of death, except in the case of betrothed virgins. And the law also required the execution of both parties. When Jesus does answer them, they not only realize that they haven't been able to trap him, but they know that they cannot punish her. So they leave, and she's left standing alone in front of Jesus. Now with this proverbial first look in the mirror, Jesus has saved her life. With his somewhat harsh address of woman, and that was not a polite form of addressing somebody, and his telling her to go and sin no more, he does not condone what she has done, but he also does not condemn her. How do you think that woman felt after this interaction? She has gone from a certain painful death to being sent on her way without condemnation. This is just one example of Jesus' gentleness. There are numerous others. Think of Jesus' reaction when his disciples become indignant about James and John asking to sit at his right and left hand. Think about his reaction when, and this is after his resurrection, when he speaks to Peter after Peter has denied him three times. Think about his general rebuke of his disciples when they weren't allowing the children to come to him. Think about how he felt when Lazarus died and he saw Martha and Mary's reaction. It was the shortest book in the verse in the Bible. He wept. Think about how he addressed the Samaritan woman by the well. Think about his miracles. He raised Jairus' daughter. Jairus was a Roman soldier who wasn't a Jew. He healed the blind beggar Bartimaeus, the woman with the bleeding issue, the crippled by the pool, the lepers, the demon-possessed, and countless others. His actions throughout his brief ministry are the ultimate examples of gentleness. Even when he was rebuking or reproving someone, it was done gently. Paul instructs the Galatians, and us, to do the same in our New Testament lesson. And Peter does likewise in his first letter. This is from chapter 3. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. In the companion book to the Believe series, it tells us that the Gallup organization conducted a poll of the 30 ideas in the Believe series. Now, those 30 ideas, People rated themselves the lowest on the quality of gentleness. And this was true whether one was a believer or a non-believer. While Christians rated themselves slightly higher than non-Christians in exhibiting gentleness, both groups felt that they were sorely lacking in expressing this quality. Why is it so hard to show gentleness, to practice gentleness, when we are instructed to do so? We obviously want to follow God's word, but for some reason, we come up short of being gentle in our dealings with others. Instead of being calm, considerate, and thoughtful of others, we are often short-tempered, uptight, and stressed out in our relations. Maybe we actually think that being brusque or loud and emphatic is the best way to get the result we want. We feel more in control if we are dominating the conversation or the disagreement. This is rarely the case. Usually the person who maintains their calmness and thoughtfulness makes a more valid point than someone who is loud and inconsiderate. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon advises, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." That is very sound advice, even if it can be difficult to do. Another reason we may not exhibit a gentler side is that we think it makes us appear to be weak. But look at the passage from Isaiah. "Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. He has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. He's measured heaven in a span, calculated the dust of the earth, and weighed the mountains in scales." What can't God do? We know that God has infinite strength and power, but what else does he do? He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Later in the New Testament, this is recorded in Matthew and Luke, Jesus laments how he longs to gather Jerusalem as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Now the children of Jerusalem weren't willing, which is another sermon, but it is what Jesus wants to do. What an image of gentleness and caring that these verses bring to our mind. God the Father and God the Son can do this, and more importantly, want to do this for us. As the gospel song by Stuart Hamlin says, "He's big enough to rule his mighty universe, yet small enough to live within my heart." I really don't think it's important if being gentle makes us appear to be weak. Does anybody here actually think that God is weak because he wants to be gentle with his children? I want to read a poem titled, this is by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. It's titled "The Village Blacksmith." "Under a spreading chestnut tree the village smithy stands. The smith, a mighty man is he, with large and sinewy hands. And the muscles of his brawny arms are strong as iron bands. His hair is crisp and black and long. His face is like the tan. His brow is wet with honest sweat. He earns whate'er he can, and looks the whole world in the face, for he owes not any man. Week in, week out, from morn till night, you can hear his bellows blow. You can hear him swing his heavy sledge, with measured beat and slow, like a sexton ringing the village bell when the evening sun is low. And children coming home from school look in at the open door. They love to see the flaming forge and hear the bellows roar, and catch the burning sparks that fly like chaff from the threshing floor. He goes on Sunday to the church and sits among his boys. He hears the parson pray and preach. He hears his daughter's voice singing in the village choir, and it makes his heart rejoice. It sounds to him like her mother's voice singing in paradise. He needs must think of her once more, how in the grave she lies, and with his hard, rough hand he wipes a tear out of his eyes. toiling, rejoicing, sorrowing, onward through life he goes. Each morning sees some task begin, each evening sees it close. Something attempted, something done, has earned a night's repose. Thanks to thee, my worthy friend, for the lesson thou hast taught. Thus at the flaming forge of life, our fortunes must be wrought. Thus on its sounding anvil shaped, each burning deed and thought. That may be a poem from a over-romanticized era. My wife, Longfellow, lived in the 1800s. And there's not really any deep theological insights in the poem. But think of the imagery of strength and gentleness in the poem. The smith is described as a mighty man, yet he is moved to tears when he hears his daughter sing. This is gentleness. It is might restrained. It is humility. It is meekness, not weakness. Being gentle does not make us weak. It makes us faithful. It makes us God-fearing. It makes us an example of what God wants us to be. I'm on a website, gotquestions.org. There's an online article titled, "The Fruit of the Holy Spirit, What is Gentleness?" And it describes it this way. Gentleness, also translated meekness, does not mean weakness. Rather, it involves humility and thankfulness toward God and polite, restrained behavior toward others. The opposites of gentleness are anger, a desire for revenge, and self-aggrandizement. Every person is powerful. We can speak words that influence others. We can act in ways that help or hurt. And we can choose what influences will inform our words and our actions. Gentleness constrains and channels that power. To be gentle is to recognize that God's ways and thoughts are high above our own. And that's from Isaiah 55. Finally, to live in a spirit of gentleness toward God is to accept his judgment on people and issues. We tend to think it is gentle to go easy on people and try to justify actions that God has called sin, or to let someone continue in sin without speaking the truth. But Paul says, if anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. It means to confront the brother or sister in a manner that is in line with Scripture, to be mild, loving, encouraging, and clear about the holiness that God calls us to. That article is a little bit longer than that, but that part, I think that defines and describes gentleness better than I can. But I want to leave you with one more thought on gentleness today. We lit the peace candle on the Advent wreath. And James, I think he ties gentleness and peace together quite well, and this is from chapter 3, which is actually a chapter in James on taming the tongue. It's from chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Or the NIV translation words it a little differently. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. God is gentle with us, and in his wisdom wants us to be gentle with others. If we seek that wisdom and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, we will all be filled with the fruit of gentleness, and we will reap a harvest of righteousness.